Welcome to the November 1st, 2007 episode of SCOTUSCast. On October 30th, the Supreme Court heard oral arguments for United States v. Williams. The court was asked to consider whether Section 2252A, A3B of Title 18 U.S.C., which prohibits knowingly advertising, promoting, presenting, distributing, or soliciting material in a manner that reflects the belief or is intended to cause another to believe that the material is illegal child pornography, is overly broad and impermissibly vague, and thus facially unconstitutional. In this episode of SCOTUSCast, Professor Glenn Reynolds of the University of Tennessee College of Law and of Instapundit.com discusses the case. In an upcoming episode of SCOTUSCast, Bill Saunders of the Family Research Council offers some different thoughts on United States v. Williams. And now, Professor Reynolds.
I'm Glenn Reynolds, Professor of Law at the University of Tennessee. Williams against United States deals with the constitutionality of 18 U.S.C. Section 2252A3B, which prohibits knowingly advertising, promoting, presenting, distributing, or soliciting any material that reflects the belief or that is intended to cause another to believe that the material is illegal child pornography. Got that? The question before the Supreme Court is whether this prohibition on advertising, promoting, presenting, distributing, or soliciting anything that either is child pornography or that somebody might think is child pornography is unconstitutional on the grounds of vagueness and overbreadth. A statute is vague if its language is so unclear that a person of reasonable intelligence can't tell what it prohibits. A statute is overbroad if it significantly prohibits conduct that is protected by the First Amendment, as well as conduct that is not. In the Williams case, well, he's not the most sympathetic defendant. In an online chat room, he had shared non-pornographic pictures of children and of adults digitally manipulated to look like children with an undercover federal agent. Williams also promised but did not deliver genuinely pornographic pictures of children, and he was charged with pandering under Section 2252A-A3B. Before the 11th Circuit, Williams argued that the statute was overbroad and vague, and the 11th Circuit agreed, striking down the statute. They held that criminalizing behavior that was bragging, exaggerating, or outright lying about child pornography materials that might not even exist violated the First Amendment. The government's justification was that shutting down a market in child pornography requires banning all promotional speech, regardless of whether there's any actual child pornography involved. But the 11th Circuit disagreed, holding that the government may not suppress lawful speech as the means to suppress unlawful speech. It added that the government must do its job to determine whether illegal material is behind the pander. Since the statute bans pandering whether illegal material is present or not, the 11th Circuit found it overbroad and hence unconstitutional. These concerns are heightened, the court found, where a criminal statute is involved and where First Amendment rights are implicated, given the greater danger of constitutional deprivations due to arbitrary or discriminatory enforcement. We saw some illustrations of this during the hypotheticals presented during oral argument before the Supreme Court, things like the novel Lolita, various films that purport to present depictions of rape or sex that might involve somebody who is under 18 and the like. And on the other hand, one response was, how many people are actually prosecuted for things like this? And the answer is none. Certainly, Williams was not a particularly savory or innocent character. Two real questions are presented by this case. One is the extent of First Amendment protection for speech that is on the fringe of illegality, though not perhaps directly involving crime itself. And the second has to do with the court's willingness to extend the criminalization of child pornography and its somewhat special treatment beyond situations in which children are actually harmed. Previous Supreme Court case law on child pornography has suggested that child pornography gets less First Amendment protection because of the actual harm done to actual children who were involved. So that, for example, fake child pornography involving digitally altered or digitally created images that don't involve real children doesn't fall within the child pornography prohibition. In a way, the pandering case is similar. We're talking about child pornography that may not exist at all. And it would be odd to be punished for pandering something that didn't exist. That's the question in front of the court, and the answer is going to tell us a lot about how the new Roberts-Alito court addresses First Amendment issues in general.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video from past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at federalistsociety.org/multimedia.